Now we're going to meet some of the young people who've crossed the border into the United States from Latin America. Something like 57,000 unaccompanied minors have crossed in the past year. The largest numbers have come from Honduras. Immigration officials have allowed many kids to join family members or other guardians already in the United States. Nearly 1,000 have arrived in New Orleans, and NPR's Claudio Sanchez went to meet some of them.
Last June, 13-year-old Yashua Cantillano and his brother Ali Noel, 11, left their uncle's home in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, with a change of clothes and plastic bags, some snacks, water, and their mother's phone number scribbled on a piece of paper. Their guide and protector, 17-year-old Zulmi Cantillano, their stepsister.
Cruzamos el Río Bravo, subimos una subida, y estaba la calle, entonces ahí llegó migración.
With the help of a smuggler, or coyote, Zulmi says they got to the Mexican border city of Reynosa, about 11 miles south of McAllen, Texas. They crossed the Rio Grande and turned themselves in to the U.S. Border Patrol.
Nosotros llegamos un día viernes en la noche, como a las 12 de la noche, estábamos en la hielera.
We arrived on a Friday around midnight, says Joshua. They put us in separate cells called freezers because they got so cold at night.
Dormíamos en el suelo, completamente en el suelo, sin ninguna cobija. Y si usted...
We slept without blankets, says Joshua, because the older boys would steal them. There were about 200 kids in our cell, says Ali Noel. For 9 days, they say they ate mostly apples and sandwiches.
Y la comida que ellos nos daban, a veces solo comíamos las manzanas porque era lo único y la cena que era el sándwich.
In New Orleans, Yolanda Cantillano, their mother, waited to hear from them, not knowing if they had ever made it to the border. Until she got a phone call.
La migración me habló a mí. Dijeron de que si yo era la mamá de ellos.
An immigration agent read her kids' names over the phone and asked Mrs. Cantillano if she was their mother. She said yes.
No, pues fue una felicidad para mí porque usted sabe cuánto tiempo. Yo tenía como 8 años, 9 años, no sé, desde que me vine.
I felt tremendous joy, she says. Tears rolled down her cheeks. Yolanda Cantillano has been in the U.S. illegally since 2006, working in all kinds of minimum wage jobs, cleaning homes, sending money back to Honduras whenever she could. It's been 8 years since she last saw her two boys, both pencil-thin and small for their age. The Cantillano family sits on an old sofa in a hot, windowless room in the local offices of Vaila, a nonprofit community group in East New Orleans. It has helped relocate 124 of the 1,100 or so unaccompanied minors who've arrived here, fearful of being sent back. U.S. immigration officials are required to determine if these kids' fears of returning to Honduras are credible. Their stories, though, are almost impossible to verify. Still, says Mrs. Cantillano, by now everybody has to know why so many young children have been forced to leave Honduras.
Las maras que en la escuela están allá, están, hay mucha delincuencia allá. Y...
Hasta los mismos policías son criminales.
Gangs, crime are everywhere, she says. Even schools aren't safe. And the police are criminals too, says Zulmi. We had no father to protect us, says Yashua.
We
have families here that have strong evidence of what's happening in their country, and no one is listening to it.
Cristiani Rosales Fajardo is a community organizer with Vaila in New Orleans. She says the 124 families she's helping right now don't need food, clothing, or shelter. She says they need legal representation. So tonight, Fajardo is holding a meeting for recent arrivals from Honduras to discuss their options. About 70 people show up.
81% of the niños de New Orleans no tienes abogado todavía.
Fajardo cites local news reports that say that 81% of the unaccompanied minors who've arrived in New Orleans don't have an attorney, and that without one, almost all, 90%, will be deported. In August, the Obama administration did order immigration courts to expedite the deportation process for unaccompanied minors, giving them little or no time to get a lawyer, says Fajardo. But even if they could get one, she says, an immigration judge needs proof that their lives are in danger if they return to Honduras. Earlier, Fajardo showed me what an 18-year-old's family had sent from Honduras in a manila envelope.
I have here on my desk his mother and father death certificate. It's not just a story that they're making up. This is the reality. This is a death certificate. This is an original death certificate from his country.
That 18-year-old is sitting in a Texas jail, scared to death of being deported, says Fajardo, because the people who murdered his parents are now looking for him.
These families are desperate. It is life or death.
Martin Gutierrez is with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He's working with Vila to connect Honduran kids and families with local attorneys.
Even if 100 attorneys wanted to take on pro bono cases, each case is so complex, I don't know how they would do it. The sad part is that many of these families would probably qualify for some sort of asylum based on their experiences.
Yolanda Cantillano says not knowing whether she and her kids will be deported, that's what worries her most. Best case scenario?
These families will have to be in limbo for the next couple of years, 3 years.
Again, Martin Gutierrez.
Worst case scenario could be that they will be deported. Second worst case scenario, they will become part of the 11, 12 million undocumented immigrants that we have within the United States already.
17-year-old Zulmi Cantillano says that's not what she wants. She'd rather go back to Honduras.
Sí.
Sí.
Sure, there's a lot of crime there, she says, but it's still my country. Zulmi has a 5-month-old daughter back in Tegucigalpa. Since I last spoke with the Cantillano family, they've had to move in with another family to be able to pay rent. Yashua, Alinoel, and Zulmi have all enrolled in school. And they've been given a court date, October 2015. That's when an immigration judge in New Orleans could decide if they'll be deported or not. I just want to live in peace where there's not so much crime, says Yashua. A place like New Orleans. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.